Know.com. Clarity about reality.
Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has preserved us another week. And today, as it stands, is the 17th of Jumad al-Akhirah. This means that the time for Ramadan is winding down. Another 12 days, we will be looking for the moon for Rajab, which will leave us in the month of Rajab, Sha'ban, and 2 months until Ramadan. As I mentioned before, you should prepare yourselves for the month of Ramadan because the time is becoming less, and when the time of Ramadan comes upon you, that is not the time to say, I'll get ready in the first week or I'll acclimatize myself. You should be attempting to prepare yourself in the run-up before Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said to us in his speech in Surah Al-Ma'idah, the fifth surah, ayah 3, where he says, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَيْتَةُ وَالدَّمُ وَلَحْمُ الْخِنْزِيرِ وَمَا أُهِلَّ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ بِهِ وَالْمُنْخَنِقَةُ وَالْمَوْقُوذَةُ وَالْمُتَرَدِّيَةُ وَالنَّطِيحَةُ وَمَا أَكَلَ السَّبُعُ إِلَّا مَا ذَكَّيْتُمْ وَمَا ذُبِحَ عَلَى النُّصُبِ وَأَن تَسْتَقْسِمُوا بِالْأَزْلَامِ ذَلِكُمْ فِسْقٌ اليوم يئس الذين كفروا من دينكم فلا تخشوهم واخشون اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا.
You have been forbidden from meat found dead, blood, the flesh of the swine, what has been dedicated to other than Allah, what was strangled to death, what was beaten to death, what was gored to death, what's died from a fall, what died by being eaten by prey, except in the case where it was injured and still alive and you slaughtered it. Whatever was sacrificed on idols to other than Allah. And whatever was sacrificed for the sake of divining arrows or gambling. That is clear rebellion. Today, the unbelievers have lost all hope and you going away from your religion. Don't fear them, fear me. Today I have completed my favor upon you and perfected my favor upon you and chosen for you Islam as your way and religion. This ayah, normally we've only heard the last touchstone of the ayah, but the first portion of the ayah is what I wanted to discuss today. Part of what triggered this was a phone call that I had from some slaves of Allah in Arabia, the land of the Arabs. And they are there and based there, studying with a family. And among other things, this conversation came up. And the reason why it came up is because they said, we have been told by our teacher that we mustn't eat at the restaurants here because the meat is not halal in the land of Arabia. It's not halal in the Emirates, so we cannot eat at these restaurants because the source where they're taking the meat from is haram. Now, this is not the first time I've heard this because I don't sign up to them. But I often go onto forums and I just look at what's going on the street. Out of every 2% that you find that's good, there's another 90% that's a waste of time. And this particular 90 that was a waste of time that I looked at was someone saying, help, headed to Mecca. And I thought, maybe this is a Hajj Mas'ala, maybe there's some new incident since the clock tower has been built. And someone said, I'm going to Mecca and Medina for Hajj and Umrah. Could you please tell me an outlet where I could buy halal food? And I thought, subhanAllah, what's going on here? And there were 17 pages in that thread or that sticky or whatever they call it. I'm clearly too old to understand this. But the main point of the text that's significant is that they were stating there is no halal food in the whole of the Hijaz. And someone was lamenting about this, saying, yes, I've been to Morocco and there's no halal food there, so I just go vegetarian when I'm there. And they said, further, the only other option, because they're unregulated, is to just wait until you get back here to have meat. And when you get back here, all the meat is currently in the process of being grandfathered into the HMC, the Halal Monitoring Committee. Now, before I try to talk with you about this wider phenomenon, I want to talk with you about something else that's related to it. In the United States, from the year 1990 to 1996, I either did not eat meat when I was in university, or I went and bought my meat from ultra-Orthodox Jews. And these particular Jews, I believe they were Satmars. They were Satmar Orthodox Jews. I did not buy my meat from Muslims. I would walk the extra two doors down and buy my meat from a place called Kosher Delight. Why? Because the quality of their meat was so slovenly and shoddy, and I could still see the blood in the meat because it had not been drained properly, that I avoided, like the plague, the halal meat in that area. I avoided the halal meat in Seattle. I avoided the halal meat in Portland. I avoided the halal meat in Corvallis, which is where I went to university at. I avoided the halal meat in Corvallis. I avoided the halal meat in San Diego, in Frisco. Whether it's Hunter's Point or all the other places, I avoided it. SoCal, I was happy with the meat there because when I pressed the meat, I didn't see blood marks in it. That is why I avoided the meat assiduously. Now I come here, and here I was very surprised at how few blood marks I would see in meat when I would press it. Because you press your thumb down on the meat when it's red and the blood marks in it will tell you if there's blood that's still excess that's from the tissue that wasn't drained out accurately by the slaughter. I worked in a slaughterhouse. I used to clean guts off the floor. So I know what meat looks like when it hasn't been drained properly. So I was surprised at how clean the meat here is. Not just the meat from Muslims and Jews. Unbelievers, even some of their meat's clean. Not all, but some. So when I come here and I arrive here, this is before the big craze about the halal monitoring committees. One of the reasons why the halal monitoring committees came about was to try to rein in a lot of the very severe mistakes and errors of people slaughtering meat improperly. And for this, they are to be commended, because they are trying to keep a careful hold on the meat that Muslims consume to make sure that it's in the best quality it can be. Of that, there can be no dispute in their intention, because this is what they want. But on the flip side of that is involved a sort of Vaticanization. And a Vaticanization of the meat supply, in the sense that if the meat is not from somewhere that has the HMC stamp, which requires you to pay a monthly fee, which could be anywhere from $200 to $1,500 or more, if you do not have that stamp and that patch, the assumption that's made is that the meat is not halal. And this is wrong. This is a mistake. And the reason why it's a mistake is because you're assuming that the stamp or the badge necessitates that the person's checking or going through them has qualified that that meat is definitely halal. I only buy my meat, and I'm not telling you you have to do this. I'm telling you what I do. I only buy my meat from two places because I saw the man that killed the meat. I saw him. I watched him kill the meat. My first child, when the aqiqah was done, the meat was warm when it came to me because I saw him kill the meat. I could actually feel the warmth. There was steam coming from the meat. And the other place that I buy it from are people connected with that man. So I only buy from two places. That's when I buy meat. But I don't, if I go somewhere else, I go to a Muslim's house, I don't ask that Muslim, where do you get your meat from? I don't do that. I've not done that since I've come here. When I go to a restaurant, I don't ask the Muslim in the restaurant, where did you get your meat? I don't do that. Because if I have no reason to do that, I do not assume that his meat is not halal. I do not make that assumption. My assumption is that the meat is valid until further proof is brought. Now, an example and context that you need to think about. There was a restaurant that was here called Ahmed's. And that restaurant was sandwiched in between the Medina food store and the Medina Dental. Some of you may remember, it hasn't been gone that long. But the overhead at the place, they couldn't pay because it was simply too expensive. It was the overhead. Now, they had the HMC on the door. But I was eating at that restaurant before they had the stamp on the door. Before that time, I was eating prawns, I was eating chicken, I was eating lamb, I was eating all these different foods. And I never batted an eyelash because my assumption of them, because I knew them, and I knew that they got the meat from the place where I'd seen the guy kill it myself, I was assuming they were on safe ground. Now I want you to fast forward 6 months after that stamp went on the door. The stamp comes off. My wife and I receive a text message. Some of the slaves of Allah know as well. They receive a text message to say, Ahmed's is no longer HMC certified. Avoid now. Avoid, avoid, avoid. It is not halal, it is haram. I thought, what's happened here? And when Ahmed's staff was approached, they were obviously hurt by it because their response was, we could not continue to pay the high membership fees that we feel were being extorted from us by HMC. So we decided not to pay anymore. But the sources of where we're getting our meat from have not been modified, and they remain as they were, and we are getting the same meat from the same place, and that antedates our history with the HMC. But the HMC status for some has become a Vaticanization process in which if they say, well, it's not HMC, so therefore it must be impermissible. And it's created that environment. I tell you for a surety, you must be careful and you must avoid this. What is it, you can come forward? You must be careful and you must avoid this behavior. Now, if you feel safer having meat that's HMC because maybe you know the people, and you feel more comfortable with that, fine. I don't take that from you. But what I say is for the rest of us who do not, and I am one of them, do not then cross-examine me about where I'm getting my meat or where I go if you're in my home. That's all I'm asking. I don't cross-examine you. about the HMC, about why the Deoband form of HMC in London makes takfir on the HMC from Jama'a Ahl al-Sunnah, and they say each other's meat isn't halal. I don't ask you about that. So I just ask that you don't ask me about my meat consumption. Fair is fair. Because this issue is huge. Now the international aspects of it is people from here have started to cause fitna in other countries because they've gone there, and because they don't have a HMC system there, they thought, well, the meat must not be halal. And they've started fitna. Now I'll bring you back to the conversation that I had. They said the meat sources that they're taking their meat from are in Brazil, the United States, Mexico, and Canada. And because those are non-Muslim countries, their meat is not halal. I'll repeat that again because you need to understand this logic, because you only get this in real life. You can't write a script like this. So because those countries, the United States, Canada, Mexico, and South America, are non-Muslim countries, their meat mustn't be halal. So we completely ignore all the Jews that are in the United States, where the meat could have come over, glatt kosher, and been stamped halal. We ignore the 10 million Muslims that live in the United States. We ignore that, totally ignore it. And we assume that all the meat coming out of there is haram. And I want you to think about this practically. If we want to take this type of understanding, and again, we're speaking just as friends. If you want to take this understanding, the vegetables like oranges, grapes, apples, all of these fruits are sprayed with a preservative that has an oil on them. That's why they have that sheen. And sometimes you have to wash them. And that sometimes has a fat additive from either chicken or pork. Now it's fine if it's an orange because you're peeling it and it's coming off. It's fine if it's a banana and you're peeling it and it's coming off. But in the case of an apple or a grape, it's sinking into the fruit itself. Now, it's only going to be maybe 1.5 to 2%. But for our halal avengers, this presents an issue. Now, if you take that literally, like how they've said about the meat, you cannot eat that fruit. You cannot eat that fruit. Go when you have an opportunity and study the law of contaminants. The law of contaminants, for those that have already worked in canneries and processing firms, the law of contaminants allows a certain amount of contamination to go into foods as long as it's below a level where the taste threshold can detect it. Meaning, if you can't taste it, it can't hurt you. So, in General Mills and Kellogg's, so many maggots, so many grubs, so many flies, so many things are allowed to go into the cereal because they're open vats that they're boiling in, as long as it is below the taste threshold of between 1.5 and 2%. I know, because I saw mosquitoes and things being zapped and going inside of food. So as long as that's in there, rats falling in the butter vats, you know they don't have the same ideas of cleanliness as we do. You know that. So, because of that, we allow this to a certain degree. If you want to be really technical like that, you'll need to write a letter to Kellogg's, Nabisco, and General Mills and say, how many maggots, rats, grubs, and larvae per square ton are falling into your food? They can give you the number, but it will produce a new situation for you. Because now, you have to start asking about all of those things. If you hold that opinion, you're going to have a situation where you're going to believe that all soft drinks and juice drinks are haram. You're going to hold that position. If you hold that position, you will hold the position that all soft drinks and all of your carbonated drinks, which use alcohol, ethanol alcohol, as a catalyst to cause the fizzing carbonation process, if you hold that position, all fizzy drinks are haram. If you hold that position. Because you're taking things that are downwind and applying the harshest available mechanic to them. If you do that, you cannot drink carbonated drinks, you cannot drink your soft drinks, your Ribenas, your olive, you cannot drink those, because they will be haram if you hold them according to that position. Most of your meats will be haram, most of your fruits will be haram. Now your vegetables are only sprayed with a pesticide that's not an animal fat pesticide, so you're safe there. So you can eat grass, you can eat all your lettuces, you can eat all your tomatoes, you can eat all your brown peppers, so you can still have your curries. You just can't drink anything with them. You just can't eat any meat with them if you take that position. I want you to think very carefully about this, and then I want to wrap this up, inshallah. أستغفر الله لي ولكم أستغفر الله إن الله غفور رحيم يا أرحم الراحمين الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعد وبعد. In looking at this matter, I want you to think very carefully about how much of a tribulation it can be that certain people put on you. Yes, we should try to have the most healthy alternatives that we can find. And yes, we should make sure that we consume the best, cleanest, and most halal food possible. But what I'm trying to stress to you is, when you take rare and particularly strictural positions like this, you put yourself in a situation where, in order to be consistent, you will have to adopt the same hermeneutic throughout all of your transactions in that particular action. Let's come to an understanding. And I think it may be useful for you to take this, because the individual I'll mention has rank in his own right, and his solution, I think, may be the best solution. Imam Abdul Ghani ibn Yasin al-Labadi, rahimahullah, he was a great Palestinian jurist and a marja. So he had global jurisdiction. He saw the rise of industrialized food. He was one of the first scholars to see the rise of industrialized food. And he saw the impact it could have. He was there. And he also saw the state of Israel fail. So a lot of these things, the industrialized food industry, the dumping of fluoride into the water supply that's supposed to cure cavities and all this, he saw these things happen. And he wrote extensively on them. So his understanding, I think, deserves a listen. He said regarding meat like this, he said, when you have meat that is coming into a country, or you have come to that country, and the meat, as far as you know, has been slaughtered in a permitted way, you do not investigate and assume otherwise to its external, or this will place hardship upon you and the rest of the slaves. So if as far as you can be sure, as far as you can be sure, you've said, okay, I know they have done their utmost to halal, to slaughter these meat in a halal fashion, then you consume based upon that understanding. And those who are saying it's haram, the evidence is for them to bring it to you and to show them. Not from ITV, but actual evidence. So a friend of mine and I, we've been hearing a lot of things about Lucerne yogurt, because people have told us that Lucerne yogurt, they don't have Lucerne factories here, but in the United States they have Lucerne yogurt. And they said, oh, Lucerne yogurt isn't halal, it's not halal because they have this in it, they have that in it, they have this in it. I said, well, that doesn't seem feasible to us, we better write a letter. So we wrote a letter to the head office of Lucerne, which is in Oregon. And we said, is it true you're putting this in your yogurt? And is it true you have this and you have that? I got a 7-page letter back to say, actually, sir, we're offended that we're being accused of this because we've gone out of our way to make sure that these items don't go into our yogurt. In fact, we'd like to invite you down to the Shielder Dairy. So I went down to the Shielder Dairy for an afternoon and met big, strapping, corn-fed white men that showed me that the food was kosher that they were making their yogurt from in their milk. They said, how dare those people say that about us? We go out of our way to show that our meat and that our yogurt and our milk and our other products are kosher. And as far as we know, if something's kosher, isn't it halal in most cases? In most cases, that's right. So I had a learning experience, not just from watching our tongue regarding Muslims, but even in certain instances, watching our tongue regarding the kuffar, because many of them make these decisions based upon family values. And the Lucerne Farm and the Shielder Dairy, that's a family-run business. You can't just go and say something like that about someone you don't have any proof. You can't just go and say this restaurant's haram. Do you know the ramifications that has by saying that? How quickly that spreads? Oh, this restaurant's haram. You can't eat from there. You know how badly that could affect their business? When I was in London, someone spread a rumor that kebabish was haram. You know how big of an impact that had on kebabish by saying they were haram? They took out an ad in the newspaper and a public challenge to anybody that thinks kebabish is haram. And you know the dispute why they said kebabish was haram? They said it must be haram because they don't have this documentation, and also they serve prawns. Serve prawns. Serve prawns. What Muslim in his right mind is going to serve prawns? It took out that in the newspaper and challenged them. He said, come down, we dare anyone to come down and show us where we're doing haram. The guy was on television, he was upset. One of the owners of the original kebabish firm, he was very angry. Because that's one thing kebabish wanted to always push. They wanted to have somewhere for Muslims to go that had a nightlife that was clean, and good food where you can go somewhere and socialize, where you have that family environment, but you still have a nightlife as well. Because I've been to kebabish numerous times, and I eat prawns, and I like them. So I thought it was very strange that they were being judged by that. So what I'm saying is this, in closing all this off, let's close it off with 5 main things. Number one, the consumption of your food, particularly your meat, must be halal, and you have to make sure of this. Let there be no doubt about that in your mind. But number two, you must understand that you are only responsible for so much of that. If you delve deeply into matters to the point where it becomes obsessive, you can lead yourself and others astray, and you are not responsible for delving deeply into those matters. Number three, try to speak on these matters with evidence. Try to speak on matters with evidence. Do not put yourself in a situation of saying, well, they're haram because they don't have the certification. That's not evidence that they're haram. Because the glot kosher Jewish agencies like Kosher Delight and Union of Orthodox Rabbis, they don't have halal certification either, but they're halal eat. Do they have HMC? No. They're probably cleaner than a lot of what the HMC do, which is why I ate from them for 5-6 years. Number four is look at and make sure that you are consistent in the position that you adopt. So if you adopt the position that you have to delve deeply into these matters to the point where you have to know where it came from and all these other things, if you adopt that position, that's fine, but be consistent throughout. So don't drink Pepsi and Coca-Cola products because there's an alcohol catalyst in them. Don't drink them. If you're going to be consistent, you have to do that. Don't drink those. Don't drink Ribena. Don't drink them. If you hold the position, if you hold the strictest position possible regarding that, then don't drink carbonated soft drinks, and don't drink all those other ones either. Don't drink Fanta. Because that's the strictest position. Because all carbonated drinks use an alcohol catalyst. Be consistent. So that your opinions match, and so that you're consistent, and that you're not contradicting yourself. And then number five is learn to understand that you live in a world that doesn't revolve around you. You're at a Muslim brother's house, we're eating Doritos, brother comes in, we say, would you like some? He doesn't say, oh no, thanks, I'm not hungry. He takes the bag, turns it over, looks at the ingredients and says, these are haram, and gives them back to him. To which my response was, this is 1995. So I didn't have nearly as much tact as I have now. So I said, so are your shoes. You pork skin shoe wearing leather jacket, gazelle not slaughtered properly carrying faucet. What? Who are you calling faucet? Who are you accusing of eating haram? Well, eventually we were pulled apart and calmed down and sat down. Because like I said, I'm not the nice guy I am now. I wasn't like that back then. I was still rough around the edges. So what he said, I said, well, you have to understand. The shoes that you're wearing, the particular brand that you're wearing, your Prada's, that's pork skin. And we know that it is. Go call the factory. And I sat on the phone, on speakerphone, as he called them, and they confirmed it, and the face went, I said, yes. And he called the factory for his jacket, and yes, it was. I said, you see? But we haven't judged you. We didn't judge you. Even though in my school, if you're praying with that stuff on, your salah's batil. That's up to you, though. That's your method. I don't know. But we didn't judge you. We didn't judge you. We just ask you don't judge us. So you realize that the ummah's huge is wide. Ummah's huge and wide. So you have to understand that. You have to realize that the ummah's big, it's wide. And sometimes the things that you're seeing that are different to what you know are different because there's a difference of opinion. Understand that. Everything is not all one thing. Sometimes you'll find a difference of opinion. And that's what I've noticed since being here, since before I came here. There's things I'm going to notice that are different about you. There's things you're going to notice looking at me right now that are different about me. And you have your firm convictions, and you're going to try to go by those, and I have my firm conviction, and I'm not changing those. So you have to understand, if we're going to get along with each other, then we have to learn each other's difference, because we're all from one ummah. We're all one family. And everybody's got the cousin that's a little bit weird, so look at me like that if you have to. Everyone's got the uncle that's a bit, okay. So I'll look at you like that. But the main thing is they all love each other. Everyone's got a family member that guy's kind of funny, but he's still with us. You can't say anything bad about that guy because he's one of us. I feel the same way about you. I hope you feel the same way about me. But we have to understand that if we're to go forward, we have to be wise and not make these mistakes, because the slaves of Allah that went to the Gulf with this and have started this in the Gulf, obviously the Arabs have been harsh on them and blamed them, and sometimes they've deported them. Why? Because they're making fitna about meat. You're saying the meat in the Hijaz isn't halal. That's literally like saying someone's hajj is invalid. So they deported them. What would you do? Someone comes to your house and says, oh, this is the best curry. Where'd the meat come from? No, I'm sorry, it's not halal. Throw them out. I'd do more than throw them out. You wouldn't find the body. Come to my house and do that. It's not right. So you have to understand. This is what's going on. And my last statement on the matter is this. We have a right as Muslims to protect ourselves in terms of what we put in our bodies and what we give to our children. So we need to look outside of all of what I've mentioned today. I say to you with no doubt in my heart, try to eat the healthiest food you can. Try to have the cleanest food you can. Try to have a lot of water. I'm not saying, you know, don't drink soft drinks ever. I'm just saying, try to make sure that for every can of Coke or Pepsi that you have 1 liter of water to flush your system, to clean your system. For every day that you have to have that chicken, because if I don't eat chicken, I'll die. For every day that you have to have that, balance that with vegetables that are the same weight. Because your body has wear and tear. إِنَّ لِجَسَدِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًّا. Your body has a right on you. Look after yourselves. And your body will strengthen. And in your old age, because you only get one body in this life, your body will be of use to you in old age. وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا ونبينا ورسولنا محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم أجمعين أرحم الراحمين لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير لا إله إلا الله ولا نعبد إلا إياه له النعمة والفضل والثناء الحسن الجميل لا إله إلا الله مخلصين له الدين ولو كره الكافرون لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير اللهم لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا معطي لما منعت ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد اللهم اغفر لنا المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات والمحسنين والمحسنات والمجاهدين ومناقبات الأحياء منهم والأموات اللهم اغفر لنا المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات والمحسنين والمحسنات والمجاهدين ومناقبات الأحياء منهم والأموات Oh Allah, we ask that you forgive us for our sins from this last Juma up until this Juma today, and that you make us better slaves than we came in today. Amen. And oh Allah, we ask that you give us good deeds in our account, and that the reckoning of our account is heavy on the day of judgment of good deeds. Amen. Oh Allah, we ask that you blot out our unrighteous deeds, and that you forgive us for our sins, our misgivings, and our mistakes, and that which we've done and that which we've said. And oh Allah, we ask that you protect our hearts and that you don't let us go astray and that you protect the hearts of our children so that we're guided aright. Mm-hmm. Oh Allah, we ask that you protect our intentions so that they're rightly based and that we don't have ulterior motives in that which we do except for your face and your face alone. Mm-hmm. Oh Allah, we ask that you make us among those who know that your sustenance is in your hand and it's not in our hand and that we depend faithfully upon you and you alone. Mm-hmm. Oh Allah, we ask that you give us courage and you replace cowardice with courage. Mm-hmm. Oh Allah, we ask that you replace laziness with steadfastness. Mm-hmm. Oh Allah, we ask that you make us among those who stand up for you, fearing no one but you and you alone. Mm-hmm. Oh Allah, we ask that you protect us from the dark conspiracies of Shaitan and those who ally themselves with him. Mm-hmm. Oh Allah, we ask that you protect us from wicked governments and those in high places that seek to abuse their authority. Mm-hmm. Oh Allah, we ask that you protect us from the intelligence agencies and secret societies in high places who seek to abuse this ummah and the slaves of the ummah. Mm-hmm. Oh Allah, we ask that you protect us from the wickedness that people intend towards this ummah. Mm-hmm. Oh Allah, we ask that you protect us from the mistakes that those within this ummah make when they think they're helping the ummah. Mm-hmm. And oh Allah, we ask that you make us among those who glorify your name at all times and fear no one but you and you alone. Mm-hmm. وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ورسولنا محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم أجمعين أرحم الراحمين إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر وأقيموا الصلاة
No. Clarity about reality. See more at know.com.